We have a few handouts. Couldn't print a whole bunch of them up, but we have some on the front row. So if you can share, or you can go online and pull it out of TCCB, you can follow along electronically. But tonight we're going to talk about the blood covenant and what it means to you and me, and this series during the month of October. We're going to focus on the blood. Focus on the blood. So the So praise the Lord. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to go there and read. But before we read, I'm going to read you a little prophecy or exhortation from Brother E.W. Kenyon. And he says, I have a right to grace in the hardest place on the ground of the blood covenant. I have a right to peace that can never cease on the ground of the blood covenant. I have a right to joy that can never cloy on the ground of the blood covenant. I have a right to power, yes, this very hour, on the ground of the blood covenant. I have a right to health through my Father's wealth on the ground of the blood covenant. In it, I my healing take, Satan's hold must break on the ground of the blood covenant. I have a legal right to now to win this fight on the ground of the blood covenant. I will take my part with courageous heart on the ground of the blood covenant. Now my rights I claim in his mighty name on the ground of the blood covenant. And my prayers prevail though all hell assail on the ground of the blood covenant. On the ground of the blood, on the ground of the blood covenant, I claim my rights though the enemy fights on the ground of the blood covenant. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. What is a covenant? Before we get into the scripture, I want to affect your thinking and hopefully this season you'll be conditioned with covenant thinking. A covenant is like a contract, but it's more than that. Contract just means it's binding. But a contract, typically, as we said, even in a marriage situation, it's based on covenant versus contract, because contract protects its rights and relinquishes its responsibilities. A covenant is just the opposite. It surrenders its rights and takes its responsibilities, assumes its responsibilities. It's involved in, meaning a covenant, two or more people. In this case, we're talking about involves just you and God. God is the covenantor, and you are the covenantee. The beneficiary as the covenantee of the deal. A covenant, unlike a promise, is a vow that cannot be broken once the required conditions have been met. And one mighty man of God suggests that there is no force in the kingdom of God that is stronger than the force of covenant. For the word of God says in Psalms 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not break. Strong assertion and affirmation about his covenant. Nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. So God said it, he will do it. God spoke it, he will make it good. Amen? Now in Jeremiah 33, the scripture says to us in 33, verse number 20 and 21, thus said the Lord, if you can break my covenant on the day of my covenant of the night, that there should not be a day or night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son reign upon his throne, and the Levites, the priests, and my ministers. In other words, God is saying, you can't break my covenant. Once a covenant is made, Paul even said by the Holy Spirit in Galatians, no man can annul it. You can't disannul it, a covenant. The Bible, friends, is loaded with promises from God to make our destinies colorful, glorious, enviable on the earth. But there are certain conditions that we must meet before the promises can be fulfilled in our lives. This is covenant talk, covenant language. Meeting the demands or conditions of the covenant are what turns the promises into a covenant and commit God to do his own part in our respective lives. Amen? We have covenant rights as born-again, blood-washed believers. And these covenant rights are not limited to, but inclusive of, 12 different things that I want to just suggest and throw out to you. These 12 different things that we are covenant rights because of the blood covenant, the new covenant we are now under, are the right to peace, the right to direction, the right to wisdom, the right to favor, the right to business exploits, the right to a heavenly family life or a good family life. The right to fruitfulness, the right to healing, the right to deliverance, the right to prosperity, the right to protection, and the right to praise. Amen. And enjoy the presence of our Father God. Amen. Being born again is a prerequisite for a profitable covenant walk with God. It is what qualifies us to enjoy all of our covenant rights. So it's like the visa to God's covenant world of wonders. Amen. So no one, in just thinking legal language and talking legal, has an inheritance in a family to which he doesn't belong to in the same family. Without being born again, you don't have an inheritance in Christ. So what does this blood covenant mean to you and me? Well, let's go to the Word and see what this blood covenant is all about. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 25. So I'll read through those. I'm reading out of New King James. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. A body you prepared for me. Now, you can stop and just kind of go metal right there, because God gave every one of us a body. Amen. But he said in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice of sins, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. This is Jesus talking to the Father. So the Holy Spirit gives us an insight or x-ray into a dialogue between him and the Father, the Son and the Father. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. It's a beautiful exchange. Verse number 8, previously saying, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire and had no pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. But then he said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He's talking about the covenant. By that will we have been sanctified through offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Key in on that phrase. But this man, talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us that after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering of sin for sin, because they've already been paid for, paid in full. Isn't that good? Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise God. Amen. So we see a good dialogue, and we'll see more in the book of Hebrews in a moment, but the old blood covenant, if you got your hand out and you're taking notes, you know, you can fill in the few slots there we've got left open for you to kind of stay engaged with that lesson. But the old blood covenant was on the basis of the new covenant, was the basis on which the new covenant was founded. Now you can understand when Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, when he was doing what they call the Last Supper. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Amen. The disciples knew what it meant. They knew that when they cut the covenant with Jesus in the upper room that night, they had entered into the strongest, most sacred covenant known to the human heart. It's called the blood covenant. Jesus Christ, our Lord, brought us a new covenant, having displaced and fulfilled the old covenant. Hebrews 10:9 says this in the New Living. Then he said, look, I've come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. With the fulfilling of the old covenant, everything connected with it was set aside. So let's look at the comparisons in the context of them cutting a blood covenant or having a covenant of blood in place. Because the Old Testament was sealed. You might think about that. Signed, sealed, and delivered. was the blood old covenant, but the same was with the new covenant. So what do we see in the old covenant? The old covenant, the sign of the old covenant was circumcision. Now, that was the foreskin of the male. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. The new covenant, the sign is you must be born again. Now again, that's when you know somebody's in covenant with God. Are you born again? Now, a lot of times, you know, when we evangelize and whatnot, people ask, well, do you go to church? Come go to church. No, it doesn't matter what church they go to. Now, you want to bring them to church if they're not church, but it matters what family they belong to. Because they are they in covenant with the devil, or are you in covenant with God? Amen. And the devil breaks his promises and all those things. The seal of the new of the old covenant was the seal of the blood of Abraham, and God sacrificed when God sacrificed an animal, the ram. He was going to sacrifice his son, but he sacrificed his an animal. And then we see the seal of the new covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now remember, when in Hebrews 11, we always read it or quote part of it during the communion teaching. We did it Sunday when he said, I received of the Lord the same night which he betrayed, took bread. Okay? And then he said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do often as you do it often as you eat in remembrance of me. Why are you remembering him? Well, that you remember that his body was broken. He died for us, just like the animals died in the Old Testament. But he only had to do it once. Now, he also said, take the cup up and said, what? This cup is the New Testament in my, what? Blood. What does that mean to us? It means simply this. It's ratified, established, it's sealed, it's made valid, it's confirmed. That means all the promises and state sentences of the New Testament are guaranteed. They're guaranteed. If you are the covenantee, it is guaranteed to you. All the promises of God in Corinthians says are yea and what? And amen to the glory of God. Why? Because they have been guaranteed and sealed by the blood. Been ratified, established, made valid, confirmed. It can't be annulled or made null and void. You can't cancel it out. Whew, glory to God. That's why the scriptures give us indication, these pointers about the blood of Jesus that say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Whew. We have redemption through the blood. You don't have to get redemption, you have it. Everybody say, I already got it. You've already got it. Amen. And then the priesthood changed. So we know under the law of Moses, under the old covenant, the Levitical priesthood, the God set aside one tribe as his priests. Priest simply means they were in service to the Lord. Service in the house of the Lord. To do what? To offer gifts and sacrifices and prayers for the people. They were anointed to serve in the house of God. Amen. To offer gifts and sacrifices. Now we don't have the priest after the order of Aaron. We have a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We have the priesthood of Jesus. Amen. Jesus was our great high priest, and then he made us unto our God, Revelations 1:6, kings and priests. Peter says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Whew. Everybody say, I'm royal priesthood. That means you offer gifts and sacrifice. So that means spiritual sacrifices, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 5, you and I are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. As a what? As a royal priest. Now, most folks get mixed up when they look at human priest. But I didn't say anything about a human priest. I said about royal priests. What do royal priests do? What do you and I do? We offer up spiritual sacrifices. Amen? Spiritual sacrifices start with presenting our body as living sacrifice. Transforming our minds. That means you sacrifice not allowing your mind to stay in the junk closet. And you don't let thoughts course through your mind unhindered, unchecked, but you apply the word of God to your mind to change the way you think, because God says that's good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So I'm supposed to present my body as a living sacrifice, a transfigured body and a transformed mind. So I don't need to be, dumb, you want some gum 10 years later in the kingdom. Come on now. I gotta renew my mind. I got to get my stinking thinking cleared out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we see in the temple, the Old Testament was a physical temple, a place. They created the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the temple of Solomon, a place called the Holy of Holies. There was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt. And then, of course, in the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Amen. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy of God, because God dwells in our spirit and our spirit dwells in our body. Amen. So we're carrying the Lord around. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you don't have to necessarily go to a place to meet with God. You can get right there on your knees and meet with God wherever you're at, because God's in you. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Isn't that good? Yeah. And then the surety of the Old Testament was Jehovah God. He bound himself with an oath and to old covenant. He was the surety of the old covenant he made with Abraham. He made an old covenant. He says, surely in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply you. And the writer Hebrews, we believe it's Apostle Paul, says that God couldn't swear by anybody else because he made a promise, but then he had to make an oath to guarantee or to make sure that promise. I'm promising you, but now I'm going to swear to you. And he said, I couldn't find anybody to swear by any greater than me, so he swore by himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So he sure, and see, it was those two immutable things, the scripture says in Hebrews, where it is immutable means they're unchangeable, where it is impossible for God to lie. What was the oath and the promise? Or the promise and the oath. He said, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply you. He swore by himself. He knocked Abraham out. He said, you can't handle this on my levels. I'm just going to knock you out, let you dream it and see it, and get a revelation of it. And then he walking through what Abraham laid out was turtle doves and rams and bullocks and those things in blood, and God walked through there and swore over them. He cut a covenant with them. Amen. And was a surety of that. And then, of course, we see Jesus, our Lord, is the surety of the New Testament. In other words, he stands back of every sentence of the New Covenant. Remember, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot, one tittle. My words pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away before my words. So God, Jesus, is not a liar, is he? He said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. Amen. Amen. There's no truth in the devil. All right. And then, of course, with sins, we see the big deal was the only thing they could do was cover it. They couldn't deal with the sin consciousness. They couldn't cleanse their soul, their mind. So they had to keep sacrificing every year for sins. And the priest had to do it for himself and then for the sins of the people. And it didn't take away sins, what we read. Sacrificing on it, God wasn't pleased with it. He wasn't fully satisfied. He said, you're covering, but you can't take it away. And we say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me what? Whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so under the New Testament, we are, New Covenant, we are cleansed. Hallelujah. We're not only just forgiven. God didn't just say, okay, you're okay. But he treats you and me. That's why grace is so amazing. He treats you and me as if sin never happened. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Nailed it to his cross and took it out of the way, the Bible says in Colossians. He blotted them out. He didn't just cancel them out and say, okay, I draw a line through what you did, the 100th sin that you did. That's drawing a line through that. No, he just blotted out the whole note. Somebody said, glory to God. He blotted out the whole note. So when you confess your sin, he's what? Faithful. And just to do what? Forgive us your sins and what? From all unrighteousness. Now stay with that thought now, because the New Testament is just as legal in God's justice system as the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Hebrew says it's a better covenant established upon better promises. In him we have redemption through his what? Blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14. Amen? So you got to think about it. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So what does that mean? Forgiveness of sin, when he says he's faithful and he's just, that means he's just to forgive you because the price has been paid, the payment has been paid in full for every sin that you ever committed, past, present, and future.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
That's why repentance is a legal term. You repent. He's faithful and just. Amen. You confess it. It's a legal term in the courtroom of heaven. I acknowledge my done. Your advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, says, okay, that's been paid for. He's faithful and just. Boom. Drops his godly gavel and says, they're forgiven and cleansed. Wipe it away like it never happened. Wipe it away like it never happened. So that means we can't go around talking about, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You're no longer a sinner. Because when he treats you righteously, he treats you as sin never happened. He casts those legal notes, sins, in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our sins far from us. Amen? Sin's a big deal. Sometimes we don't realize how big it is, but in God's system, under the new covenant, as covenantees from our covenantor, we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! So there should be no issue with us when we meditate on this covenant thing and get this a revelation of it, that we're walking around with a sin conscious. Now, what are some of the byproducts of a sin consciousness? Defeat is conscious. Quit conscious. Quit mentality. I mean, frustration that, you know, a bad thing has always happened to me. You know, faith in reverse consciousness. So you have negative expectation. Amen? Man, you've got Jesus that shed his very own blood so that you can be a winner. So that you can be worthy. Amen. So that you can whip the devil every time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm a winner. Everybody say, I'm worthy. And I can whip the devil every time because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So just as God stood behind the old covenant, it was his surety, so Jesus is assured of every sentence in the new covenant. This is so legal, and sometimes we think so loose about it, but this is so legal. Prayer is legal business. So when you either praying, confessing your sins, pleading the blood of Jesus, it's legal talk in the realm of the kingdom. Amen? Something's messed up, jacked up in your house, and you say, and the devil's accusing you of things being wrong because of you, you say, I plead the blood. Amen. Your mouth is very important. You got to speak the blood. You got to talk the blood. You got to have blood language. You got to have blood on your lips. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the resources of heaven are back of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the back of the new covenant. Every heavenly resource is behind this new covenant that you and I enjoy as born-again Christian believers. All right, so the Old Testament did not give us eternal life or the new birth. It only gave a promise of it. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior and confess him as Lord, the change that happens in our spirit, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We get eternal life right then. Eternal life is not when we get to heaven. Eternal life is the life of God, the nature of God that gets injected into our spirit. We're born again, not of incorruptible seed. Amen. But of, corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's got the DNA of God on it. It's got the blood of God on it. The word of God got the blood sprinkled all over it. Glory to God, because it's part of the covenant. Amen. When Moses finished reading the law to all the people, he took blood of hyssop, da da da, and put it in a bowl, and he sprinkled blood all over the people. This is the covenant that God has enjoined to you. What do you do in the New Testament? The blood of Jesus has already been shed. So when you receive the word of God, when the word of God creates life in your spirit, when you're born again, the blood comes over you. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Old Testament didn't get fellowship with God, only gave a type of it. Only three people really could kind of go into God's presence, the prophet, priest, and king, and everybody else had to wait and see what's happening with those guys. They were servants, we are sons. Amen? Now, Hebrews paints a picture of a contrast between old and new, in these three vital contrasts that you need to embrace and understand to have a more working knowledge of the covenant, of the new covenant, the better covenant, established on better covenant. They're both blood covenants, but the blood covenant that you and I are in today. Number one was Moses versus Jesus. Now, they weren't versus each other. One was just the steward and superintendent of the old one. He was the minister of that one. But the Jesus is the minister and mediator of the new one. Glory to God. And some people get a little goofy, and I've been around circles, and people say, well, only Jesus' words are important. No, the whole entirety of the New Testament is important, is Jesus' words. Amen? The epistles are the advanced teachings of Jesus. He left unuttered when he left the earth. Because he said, you can't handle this now, but there's so many things I want to say, but you can't handle them right now. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be able to tell you. Because you're going to have to get a revelation of this. Praise God. Amen. So the gospels are like the photograph. The epistles are like the x-ray. The gospels are like what man saw. But the epistles, the letters to the early church, are what God saw. Amen. And so we see all the promises of God entangled in the New Testament. But you don't just throw away all the promises of the old, because what happens in this better covenant, you get the old plus more. Amen. It's like covenant, blood covenant 2.0. It's upgraded and it's been perfected. There's no more upgrade needed. Glory to God. Someone say glory to God. Hallelujah. Then we see the high priest, Aaron, and all his, you know, descendants through the tribe of Levi. They were a priestly order. But God didn't call Jesus in that order. He called him to a new order, a different order. Thou art a priest forever, Psalms 110, after the order of Melchizedek. He didn't call him after the order of Aaron, which is the priesthood, the minister of the sanctuary of the Old Testament. But he said, I called you to the heavenly sanctuary. Because the priest had to go into Holy of Holies once and for all, once in a year, and they had to tie a rope around his leg with bells to make sure that he was still moving back there. Because if he flatlined, if he fell flat, that means he didn't do it right. And he gave up the ghost, and they had to pull him out. Amen. But Jesus went into the holiest of all by his own blood. Once. And God says, oh, he said, that satisfies me. Once and for all. He satisfied the claims of justice. And then God says, sit at my right hand. So he stayed in the presence. He went up into the Holy of Holies and he sat down next to the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for you and me. Praise God. He's our great high priest. He lives. He's not dead. Amen. And then the sacrificial blood. We see that in the Old Testament, they did animal sacrifices. Bulls, goats, so forth and so on. But he did with his own blood. The others weren't good enough, but Jesus' blood was good enough for once, for time and eternity. Praise God. Isn't that good? Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18. I'll pick up reading there in the New King James. It says, therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. And we said this before, but look at verse 19. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, verse 20, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Likewise, he sprinkled the blood, both tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood, there is what? No remission. Verse 23, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than the blood of animals and all the stuff that Moses used than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true real one in heaven, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, not that he should offer himself often as high priest enters the holy place every year with blood of another, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, everybody say once, At the end of all ages, he has appeared to do what? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and it is appointed men once, as it is appointed men once to die once, but after this to judgment. So Christ was offered, everybody say it, once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Praise God. Isn't that good? So we see that he's a new mediator. Amen. Thank God for what Moses did, but we need a new mediator. Amen. And, of course, the blood of bulls, goats, and the angels even mediated under the Old Testament, too. But, you know, you notice when you read Hebrews, he says, first of all, Christ is superior to angels. And then Christ is supreme over Moses. He's more excellent than Moses, more faithful than Moses. And then you see Christ is more perfected than any other priest before him. Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful book if you get a chance to read and study Hebrews. The blood of bulls and goats under the first covenant only cleansed or sanctified the flesh. But the blood of Christ is to cleanse our conscience from dead works so that we may boldly stand uncondemned in the presence of the living God. Boldly stand uncondemned. That's because the blood makes you righteous. It gives you a righteousness consciousness. Because he doesn't just take away the sin and forgive you of everything you've done. He changes your nature. So you have a righteousness consciousness instead of a sin consciousness. All things are passed away. What? All things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ. Praise God. Isn't that good? So that means righteousness means you can come into the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. So you're not ashamed to go walk into God's presence. You're not guilty going into God's presence. You don't have that sting of what I used to do 20 years ago when I was young, you know, what I did 10 years ago. You know, praise God, because you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that cute? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So you can run into the presence of God boldly. Therefore, having boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood.
Amen.
Amen. So we should be running into God's presence confidently and boldly. Amen. Because God has accepted Jesus' blood, when he carried it into heaven, into the heavenly holy of holies, he has become, by that act, the mediator of the new covenant. He became the mediator of the new covenant. Now we have the mediator. What does that mean? The sum of the synonyms is that he's a buffer, a conciliator, a go-between, an intercessor, or an intermediary. He's a buffer, a conciliator, go-between, intercessor, or intermediary. Now, here's some final thoughts and keys to embrace. Without a revelation of the covenant, because these are some beautiful things, amen? These are some beautiful truths, aren't they? I mean, that's why we praise him, and he's worthy. He's so worthy to be praised. Because he did it all for you and me. We didn't have to help Jesus out. I know some people religiously think that I'm helping Jesus out. I'm helping God out. He did it all by himself. He did it all for you and me. Amen? And so that should free us from performance-based religious tradition. And it's so interesting, even on the work environment, you know, people try to present their own righteousness, even in my presence, because they know what I do, pastor church, and they say, well, I went to Mass Sunday. Because that's the motivation of sin. Self-righteousness. I'm righteous because I went to church. And somehow God's impressed. I didn't miss any days this month. And then you talk about the blood and your eyes gloss over. You can't even lift a hand. What does that mean? What's that all about? I'm the most righteous one around here. Look at me. No, you don't have revelation. You have religion. Amen. That's death, right?
Yes.
Praise God. So we ought to be shouting about the blood, amen. Singing about the blood.
Amen.
Come on, talking about the blood,
amen.
Rejoicing over the blood, because we're blood blessed. We're blood bought. Come on now. We through the blood, we get breakthroughs in life.
Amen.
Breakthroughs in our family. Praise God. It's all because of the blood.
Amen.
How do you plead? Well, I plead the blood in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood. I try not to pump up my shoulders or chest. You shouldn't try to do this and say, I did this. I do this. I always take care of this. No, that's self-righteousness. That's performance-based Christianity religion, which is steeped in deception and sin. There's the meritocracy in God's economy is all based on our belief, not our behavior and performance. Because he already told us in Isaiah, we've been reading Isaiah this month, right? Our righteousness is as measured up to God's standard is like filthy rags. We're only righteous and good with God by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that alone, amen. It's by the blood. It's not what we do. It's not how many times we take care of stuff. It's because of the blood.
Amen.
Praise God. Come on, lift your hands and thank God because